Well, again, thank you all for being with us here this evening. And maybe we can just start off by asking, and maybe you all giving just a brief overview of your all's story. I know many of us in the room know your story, but I think it would be good for those of us who haven't heard it to just hear about what you all have been through.
Well, Evan was diagnosed in May of 2012. It was the end of his seventh grade year, going into his eighth grade year. And actually, one morning, we were preparing to come to church, and Evan had, it was just his leg was really sore, and he kept complaining, and we decided that we would take him to the doctor that following Monday. And we're family friends with our doctor, of course, and she sent us right away for tests. And in doing so, we was actually having lab work done, and I'll never forget that call. She called me and she said, "Cindy, where are you?" She said, "You need to get back to the office quick." And I knew something was wrong, but I wasn't quite sure what at that time. And cancer never entered my mind. But long story short, Evan had osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer in his leg. And I remember sitting there, and I remember the doctor, she had to repeat it several times because it's just not what you're expecting to hear. And immediately we decided, after much prayer, we went to St. Jude in Memphis, Tennessee, to be treated. We were there for the first time a year and a half and continued treatment there. And, Evan, 3 years, 4 years later, when you were diagnosed with the leukemia?
Yeah,
4. About 4 years later, Evan was diagnosed with leukemia. And the reason Evan got leukemia wasn't, a lot of people thought that the osteosarcoma had came back. It hadn't came back. It was actually a second cancer, which was leukemia. And he received a leukemia. He actually got that from a cancer treatment he had received to heal him of the osteosarcoma. So since then, we went back every 3 months for the leukemia. And so here we are today. Evan was 12 when he was first diagnosed, going on 13, and he's now 23.
So, I mean, tell me, what was your first reaction when you heard the news? I mean, I can't imagine how I would respond as an individual, as a father. You know, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction, I guess, you know, my reaction as a mom was totally different than Evan's reaction, of course, being the person that received the diagnosis. I remember coming home, I was just crying, and the first thing I thought was about our pastor, about Josh and Stephanie. And I remember my doctor saying, "Cindy, can I drive you home?" She didn't know if I could really even drive home. I was just, you know, it was just so overwhelming. And I remember my first stop was at the pastor's house, and I remember he was sick that day. And I just remember knocking on the door, and I said, "Stephanie, I need to talk to you all. I have to share with you all what happened." But as a Christian, I knew, you know, I could still think clearly. I knew I needed my pastor. I needed to talk to them. And I knew that as a Christian, and that's, you go to your pastor, that's who you go to. And that's exactly what we did.
I guess mine's a little different. I was actually, between me, my mom and dad, the ones at the office, I was the last one to actually find out, and I was the one that had it, you know. But I knew that it was something different from just a casual something you talk to your doctor about, because, one, we went near the closing hours of the office. That was different when she called us. And then when she brought us back, I actually I got put aside in a different room from mom and dad. Doctor's like, "You know, just hang out here, you know, I'll come back and get you here in a minute." I was like, okay. I was just kind of sitting there talking to nurses, you know, 12. I'm not thinking anything serious. And then doctor's like, "Hey, you know, you can come on back now." And I was like, okay. And I walk back and I walk in the room, and I see mom and dad just crying, and I'm just like, oh, then and there I knew something was wrong, obviously. And they sat me down, and my doctor was like, "Honestly," and she's like, "I'm just going to be straightforward with you." She was like, "You have cancer." And being 12, you know, or any age, and you hear it, but you don't ever expect it to come to you at any point in time. And I sat there and I really just had to think about it for a minute, just kind of shocked. And, you know, I cried. And really at that age, I was kind of still immature mentally. And to me, I'm not even thinking life or death. I'm thinking, am I even good to play sports next year? That's my mindset going into it. And that's just how I was. I mean, I knew the seriousness of it and I didn't know what to expect. But at the same time, you know, I wasn't nervous. And like, I looked at my mom and dad that day and I was like, you know, I was like, good or bad, God's always there. He'll always be there. So I'm ready to fight whatever comes my way. And that's how I took it.
And then that's when Evan looked at his doctor at 12 years old and he said, it's okay. He said, because my God's got this. And I think that was the turning point for us, because all of our lives, you know, we've raised our voice in church, and all of our lives we knew you go to God. And that's exactly what we did. You know, you read it in the Bible, and you know, and you hear this all the time, and your pastor teaches these things, or your Sunday school teaches you these things. But as a Christian, do we do those things? Do we go to God when we're faced with those situations? Or, you know, and I prayed, and I was sincere, and I said, you know, God, I said, I want through this, I want to be the Christian that you want me to be. I want to handle this the way that you want me to. So Tim and I talked to Evan and said, you know, Evan, no matter what happens from this point on, we're going to look at the positive, but we're going to look to God for our guidance. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah. In times like this, I think this is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life.
Right.
You know, it's you know, sometimes it's easy to go to God when things are all, it's going great and things are going exactly the way you planned it. But then it's those times when you get blindsided by a sickness, and then it's really, okay, do I really believe what I say I believe?
Right.
Do I really believe that God's got this? Do I really believe that God is in full and total control? And I mean, it sounds like you all were there.
Well, and you know, I thought so many times about a song that we would sing in church. If you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. And that song just kept coming to my mind over and over. You know, Lord, if you can use anybody, you can use me. And no parent wants to see their child have cancer or go through this. But if it was given, we were in that situation. So as a Christian and as parents, we had a choice. We could take this situation and give God glory and go through this situation the way that God wants us to, right? And that's exactly what we did.
Oh, and that really, with thinking back to our sermon series that we've gone through, right? The very first sermon in the series, why do we get sick, right? Some of the reasons why we went through that, why do we get sick? It points us to Christ, and God uses sickness for His glory. And I think that you all are, I mean, that's really what you're saying. And I'm going to ask this, but I think I already know the answer. I mean, I think that you all can likely say that you are probably closer to God because of this sickness.
Yeah, I'd say that's a definite. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's times like these, it's, like you said, it's testing. Your faith really gets pushed to its limits at times. And, you know, I mean, honestly, I think we're human. We get to a point where we question things, and it's normal. You know, that's part of life. That's part of being a Christian. You don't understand it. We never will understand it, but we have to, as Christians, believe that it's all for His, it's a plan He has. He has a purpose for everything that does, and you don't question it. You just trust in Him, have faith, and just keep living life for Him.
Yeah. I can remember one of the hardest things as a parent that I had to do, and I knew I had to do this, Brandon, when I was in Memphis. I'll never forget it. I got down on my knees in our little apartment, and I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what your will is for Evan. I don't know. And I didn't know. None of us know, right? But I said, whatever it is, if you choose to leave him here, I'll give you glory. But God, if you choose to take him to be with you, I'll also give you glory. And I knew at that moment when I said that prayer, I had to mean it. I just didn't want it to be words, mere words. I wanted God to hear that and hear the sincerity and truly know in my heart that I know he's our God. And, you know, he's Evan, he's our Father. And like Evan said, he has a perfect plan for our life. But we just have to trust him.
I mean, I think what you all went through was an incredibly hard thing to deal with, physically, emotionally, across the board. And I know you said there a little bit, some of the hardest parts. But that was going to be one of my questions: is what was the hardest part? Because I think about it, right? You all, Evan, your life was uprooted as a kid, and I can't imagine what that's like. And you all spent years in Memphis, and uprooted away from your home, separated from your family, right? I mean, I remember Tim couldn't always be with you all, and he was back and forth and at work, and I mean that's a hard. And then there's the unknown. It's the, you put your faith in God, but at the end of the day, you don't know God's plan. So there's a lot there. I mean, what was the hardest part for you all? Maybe it's a different answer for each of you.
To me, I don't think there's a hardest part. I mean, obviously, it's hard enough as a kid or in any age, having to look at my family and be like, hey, if I don't make it, I was like, I don't want you to be sad. I told Mom that when we were in Memphis. I looked at her at 13, and I was like, Mom, if it's my time to go, I was like, I don't want you to be sad. I mean, at first, that's fine, but I was like, don't dwell there. Don't stay there. But I don't think there's a hardest part. It's all hard in its own way. I think the key to it is, one, staying with your faith and being strong and trusting, as we've covered. But more so, it's your mindset, staying in a positive mindset, really. It's Mom and I made a pact when we were there, and our whole family did, that no matter what news we were told, good or bad, we would find a positive in it. And there's times where it seems impossible to find the positive, but, you find a way to do it. And, it's like when I relapsed and, I had the two lung surgeries and then I had a transplant. I had chemo before, and then even before the transplant, I had a team of doctors I had to meet with, and the doctors looked at me. At that point, I was 17, I believe. Doctors looked at me, and they was like, we're going to be honest, even if you do this transplant, we don't see you living past 6 months. And it's, even in that time, I had to find a positive. It's like, what positive can you find saying you're going to die? Well, I'm not going to be on earth much longer if I die, it's, that sounds messed up, but honestly, that was how I lived my whole life. There.
Echoing the words of the Apostle Paul, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. So maybe not messed up if you're in the in the same company as the Apostle Paul there.
But for me, I think one of the hardest parts through it all was, there's, like Evan said, there was a different hard part, if you will. But I think one of the most difficult times was when one of his doctors looked at me and she said, Cindy, she said, he's not going to make it. She said, he's not going to make it. And that was hard. That was hard hearing a doctor say that your child's going to die. But although we appreciated the science and we appreciated what they were telling us, right? God does the healing, but he uses things, like for us it was St. Jude. He uses the doctors. He uses them for his glory and to work through. He does the healing. But I just looked at his doctor and I said, I said, we appreciate you and we appreciate what you're telling us. And we don't want you to think that we're not listening to you, because we are. But we're going to God because he has the final say-so. And I remember one thing through it all that has really stuck with me and in my mind was something Pastor Josh said. And I'll never forget this. And I share this. I actually had a lady this week text me and tell me that her father was just diagnosed with cancer and to pray for him, and I had been. And I told her, I said, can I give you some advice? I said, can I share something with you? I told her when Evan was diagnosed, I said, our pastor looked at us and he said, Cindy, he said, although this was a surprise to us, it wasn't to God. And I know that seems so simple, but it's so true what he said. Cancer wasn't a surprise to God. You know, yes, it was to all of us, but that didn't move God. You know, God was still on the throne, and he's God. He was on the throne. He was watching out after us. But my job was to trust and look to him. And in doing so, I knew he was going to take care of everything else, whatever that was. Like I said, if Evan lived, you know, God has to say so. So, and that's where my peace came from.
Yeah. You've mentioned it several times now. I mean, how important was your church family during this time? Do you think that you could have made it without your church, without your pastor even?
No. I mean, you can say yes, but honestly, no. It'd been very hard without them. And I say that, one, you know, we're a family. We're all there as a church family. Any of us, it doesn't matter what we're going through, we're all there. We're all obviously praying. We'll do anything for one another like a regular blood family would. But at the same time, not only in a faithful sense, I look at it in any other sense, you know. Just having people that love you and care for you just call you randomly, just want to talk. It helps you, especially being gone away from home, to feel like you're still at home. And just having that, it's comforting, and it helps you keep yourself, I guess, sane, if you want to really say it that way. And it's just, that's how I looked at it. But, yeah, I think it's a huge benefit.
I know for me, and I'm not just saying this, I mean this from bottom of my heart, I really don't feel like we could ever find a better pastor than what we have. And I mean that.
Amen.
That's true. It's true. And I say it to so many people, and I know Josh don't like, you know, for us to say he don't see that probably a lot in himself, but it's true. There was never a time, and a lot of people didn't see behind the scenes as a pastor just what him, and not only him, but Stephanie done for us and their family done for us and continues to do. But it didn't matter if it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd pick up the phone and say, Josh, would you care to pray? And him and Stephanie would be up 3 o'clock in the morning. I know Evan's got a big test today. You know, they'd be up praying for him. And it didn't matter what time we called, you know, they would be there. And we are blessed with that. We really are. Yeah, we have a great pastor and a great pastor's family, and I thank God for them.
Yeah. And even outside of that, I mean, even the whole community
right.
kind of came around, and I mean, God's got this shirts and bracelets. I mean, they were everywhere.
Yeah, and I don't think, and we were always so quick to say, you know, Evan was young, so it was hard for him to understand a lot. But Tim and I talked to him and said, you know, understand, this is nothing about us or nothing about our family, because we'll let you down, right? We all will. We're human. We're flesh. We'll let people down. But this is all about God, and God's got this and all that. It was about giving him glory and letting him get the honor in it all. And that was our prayer through it all, that we didn't want people to see us or see us as even as a family. We wanted them to see God through it all, and that was what it was all about.
And that was kind of, I guess, the whole concept of the God's got this. It wasn't, you know, most people, you say, team this or, you know, pray for that, you know. And nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to this sense, God's got this wasn't me. You know, people might put that with me because that's where it started. But it wasn't meant to be just for me, and what I went through is for any of us. You know, when you look at it, you're not supposed to look at it as, oh, well, that's Evan's shirt. That's my shirt. You know, I wear that. You know, I'm proud to say that God's got me. You know, I wear this, you know. And then some people who don't even know what that is, they'll look at it, and you know, it just touches people. And that was the point of it, not to be me, but for all of us.
And we believe that God gave Evan those words. And it was God himself that gave Evan those words. And he used that for his glory through all of this.
Yeah. I think we've also alluded to it a couple times. Thinking back to, I guess it was our third sermon in the series, How Does God Heal? Right? And we talked through the different ways in which God heals, that even, you know, natural healing, God is still in control and using that as a part of His will. And even the medical healings that happen. And St. Jude's, I know St. Jude's was a huge part of your all's life, and as you alluded to earlier, right, God used St. Jude's to really have a huge impact in Evan, your healing there, right?
Well, I mean, for us, it was like you said, you know, we thank God for St. Jude. There were so many places that we could have went, and after much prayer, we ended up there. That's where we felt like God wanted us to go. And you were talking about that, you know, we didn't know if God would, what God's plan was for Evan. And we saw a lot of parents there that, you know, they lost their child. And it was hard. And we got so close to a lot of those families. And we'll never forget a lot of those kids. So, yeah.
I mean, how many years in total were you there at St. Jude's?
The first time when I was 12 or 13, however old was, I spent a year and like a month, so like 13 months. And then the second time I was there, I think it was right at a year, so like a little over 2 years. So good enough time.
Yeah. You could probably almost call that your second home.
Yeah, and we do. Even though we're there for reasons we didn't want to be there, I mean, meeting people, it makes it a second home. So yeah,
God,
I agree with that.
God used us while we were there, and there was a purpose for all this. And you know, while we were there, we would pray with people and share the gospel with people. And I can remember Pastor Josh calling him, and you know, you couldn't go to church on Sunday. You were with your child 24/7, and I can remember calling Pastor Josh and saying, Josh, you know, do you care to share a word with some of these moms? And these were people from all over the world. And we would sit there and hold hands, and these little kids would be there. And Josh never saw their faces or knew, but he could connect with them. So not only was God using us, he was using Pastor Josh and for people he would never meet.
And thinking about, you know, you all praying for others, you know, what would you say to somebody who says that prayer is a waste of time?
I would say that's a hard one because that's all I know to pray. You know, as a Christian, it's definitely not a waste of time. Prayer is simply, to me, it's your conversation, your talk with God. And it's, you know, when I pray, it's like me and you sitting here having a conversation. That's what prayer is to me. When I pray, I'm just having a conversation with God, and that's my time to talk to Him. So how can that be a waste of time? How can it be a waste of time to sit and have a conversation with your Father?
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it would be something like, you know, you being an earthly dad having a conversation with one of your children. That would never be a waste of time. So it's the same thing for me spiritually. Prayer could never be a waste of time.
Yeah, I can't follow that.
Well, I guess, I mean, you know, same question as I kind of asked earlier, right? Could you have made it through this without prayer?
I mean, thinking of prayer, I think about the first time, you know, we had prayer service here. The whole church, the whole community came here. And prayer, it's hard to really, I guess, answer it, but no, I don't think we could have made it without prayer. You know, like Mom said, when you pray, you know, we talk to God, it's our conversations with Him. And, you know, to some people, like you said, that might seem pointless. You know, some people might not believe in it, but, you know, it's a way when in any situation, good or bad, it's a way to talk to Him, just to have someone to, you know, be there. It's like I said, comforting is really what it is. It's a way that, you know, we can, I don't know how to really explain it. It's hard to explain for me, I don't know. But I don't think it's something you can live without, honestly.
No. And I think it goes back again for me, prayer is just simply, it's a conversation with my Heavenly Father. It's how I talk to Him. And, you know, I get down on my hands and knees, and He knows before we ask, right? He knows before we say anything. He's God. But I think it's also just God seeing that we are coming to Him and we are talking to Him. It's that act of faith and obedience. I think that's a lot of it too.
Yeah, I mean, we heard in that you know, what was it, fourth sermon or so, you know, how do we pray for healing? And, you know, James 5:16, right? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you think God used this as a time to really increase and improve and grow your all's prayer life, especially as we think of it in terms of James 5:16 and the fervency of your prayer?
Yeah, for sure. You know, God used this. I was close with God before, I believe, but so much closer now. I've grown a lot. I've matured a lot as a Christian. How could you really not, you know, go through something like this? But I think for me, is the big thing is, I think, is when you pray and you talk to God, you have to know it's not always getting the answer that you want, right? So when you pray, I might be praying, and for me it was asking God, you know, for Evan's healing. I may have not got that answer, yes. God may have decided His answer was going to be to take Evan, right? And but I trusted God no matter what that was. So I think prayer is when you talk to Him and you pray, is that you trust God, whatever His will is, you trust Him. Yeah. It's all about His will.
Right, like how Jesus taught us to pray.
Right.
Right, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Exactly.
A couple more. I know I feel like I've been berating you all with question after question, so we'll try to just a couple more and then we'll be done. Cindy, I think you alluded to this earlier, but you know, what advice or wisdom would you give someone who's facing sickness right now?
I would say, you know, first and foremost, it's your relationship as a Christian as you talk to God. And reach out, you know, you reach out to your church family, you reach out to your pastor, to your friends. And, you know, through this series on healing, one thing, and I think Josh has really made that clear, is how important your pastor is, how important your church family is. And I think that's one of the things going through this with Evan. I always knew that a church family was important. But after going through this, it really showed me on a whole other level of the importance of your church family. Having a pastor and his family there praying, or just your brothers and sisters in the church praying for you, or picking up the phone or sending cards. I mean, that means so, so much to have that support.
Yeah, and I mean, in a day where, you know, church membership, church attendance is declining and maybe even looked down upon.
Right.
I mean, really what you're saying is pretty countercultural.
Right.
To our day.
Right. But church is so, so important. It really is. You know, assembling ourselves together and just being together. And like Evan said, and it wasn't just for our family. And it's true, when one hurts, we all hurt, and we should. No matter who that is, if somebody, one of our brothers or sisters hurt, we should be there for them and love them. And that's the importance, I think, and God wants us to be together in church and just to show that love, because it really is. It's your family.
Yeah, bear you one another's burden.
Right.
Yeah. And kind of, I guess to add on to that about the, you know, you said what I tell somebody who's going through it now. Afterwards, when it's over, one thing I would advise is, if you have a scar, like I have a long one on my leg, don't be ashamed of it. You know, like when I first got the scar, you know, like I said, I was a kid, and, you know, I didn't want to tell people I was going through cancer treatment, so I used to make up that I got in a shark attack. That was like my way of getting through it, you know. That's how I coped with, the scar. But, you know, as I've gotten older, you know, I realized that really, actually, when I started changing it and really telling people was a friend I made in Memphis. His name was Lee. He was one of my best friends that I made there. We had the same cancer in the same leg. And he had had his treatment before I started mine, and he kind of was there kind of like an older brother is how I explain it, because, you know, my brother Nathan was here and couldn't be there, and he lived there. And he told me, he's like, you know, I'll be there for you like he would be, but I can't replace him. And he's like, but I'll always be here when you need me. And one thing he told me was with his scar, he said, you know, like friends he had, they had all these creams and lotions you could rub on it to make it not as noticeable. And he was like, he told him he didn't want it. And I was like, well, why wouldn't you want it? You know, that'd be something kind of nice to have. He's like, well, if you really think about it, if you hide your scar, you're hiding your testimony. And he was like, people see that and it stands out. When they ask me about it, he's like, that's my chance to share what God did for me and put my story out there and spread his glory and his word around. He's like, so don't be ashamed of what you had. Own up to it and embrace it. And that's what I've done with it.
And yeah. I think that's so true. And I think even for some of us who have not gone through, you know, what you've gone through, that can apply as well, right? I mean, if we're saved, God has done a miracle in us. And there is an old life that we are likely, that's full of sin, that we are likely ashamed of, right? And I think that there's this tendency that we wouldn't want to talk about it. It's almost like a scar. But at the same time, in never talking about it, we never talk about where God has brought us from and what God has done, and we're almost to a certain degree robbing him of a little bit of glory. Yep. In saying, this is how awesome my God is.
Yes. Well, and to that, Brandon, we were speaking at a church one time, and there was a young girl there, and I noticed her, and she had a turtleneck on, and it was summer, it was hot, and I was thinking, you know, why is this little girl dressed like this? And she came up to us after the service, and Evan had explained that about, you know, not being ashamed of his scar. And she had a scar on her neck, and she said, you know, I was always so ashamed, but she said, after today, she said, I'm not going to hide it anymore. And I think it goes, you know, back to what you said. We all have scars, whether that's scars of sins in our past. We all have them, all of us. But, you know, it's like you also said, we have to, our scars can be our testimony. So when we're saved, we can look back at our past. In our past, you know, once as a Christian, that's our testimony. We can go give God glory for what he's done. No matter what that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, I have one more question, and then we'll be done. And it's sermon two. So I've tried to ask every single one of the questions that Josh asked. But sermon number two, and this one should be the easiest one. Does God heal?
Yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I didn't think you all were gonna argue with me on that one.
Yes. I mean, no.
But, you know, when you said, does God heal? Yes, God heals. We may not always get the answer that we want. For our family, you know, God healed Evan, and he's here with us, and he's got a purpose for Evan. We may not always get the answer that we want, but he's always the same God, whatever that answer it is. So, yeah, God heals.
Got anything to add?
She don't make it easy to follow up, honestly.
You got
to
jump in there first.
She's just good at it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much I can say. I mean, I own up to it. I mean, he healed me. I mean, I embrace that every day, and you know, yes, he does heal, but I don't know how you could argue against how if he heals or not. I mean, people say, you know, you're a walking testimony. It's like, well, I don't call myself that, but I mean, yeah, I guess in a sense I am. I mean, there's dozens of us. I mean, there's things he's healed us from that some people don't know about. And, you know, I think, thinking of what he's done, I mean, you talk about healing. I mean, I think about the ultimate healing. He died on, Jesus died on the cross for all of us. You know, that's the ultimate healing right there, you know. He died for our sins. I mean, you think of that. I mean, how many of us would say we would do that for any of us? I mean, you know, that's what I look at when it comes to healing. I mean, yeah, I 100% believe in it.
Amen.
Yes.
That's all I have. I think we should end there. Do you all have anything else?
I just want to say, you know, we are so thankful to God for any time that we have an opportunity to sit in His house and share His goodness and His glory for what He's done for us. And, you know, our family will always give God the glory and so thankful for what He's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would also say, you know, to anybody watching this or listening to this, you may be facing cancer today or maybe it's something different, but my advice would be, you know, look to God, find your church family, because that's where your answer is. Your answer is in God.
Thank you all so much for sharing your testimony. I'll close this in a word of prayer and then we'll be done. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, first and foremost, for healing Evan. God, what a great blessing you have bestowed upon Evan, upon Cindy and Tim, upon all of us. God, we're so thankful that, one, we were able to pray. We thank you for being able to pray for Evan. And then, God, we thank you that you heard our prayer and you answered our prayer. God, we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve our prayer to be answered, but you did. And you are so good, God. We are so thankful for what you've done. And God, we give you every single bit of the glory for the healing that you do. God, may your name be praised for all ages for how good you are. And God, we thank you for the mighty things that you do in all of our lives. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see how wonderfully and how mightily you work in each and every one of our lives. And God, I pray that we would always give you the glory that you deserved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.